Welcome back to Aware. This is Lisa Garr. Once again, that is the music of Twin Souls. They're a wonderful couple, and they do some great spiritual music and spiritual work. All right, so joining me next is a really wonderful lady. Her name is Marilyn Innerfeld, and she has great insights for people who are living with cancer and who are facing cancer right now. She herself is a two-time cancer survivor, but she says that she's so much more because while she was living through the surgeries and the chemo and the recoveries and so forth, she discovered that she couldn't heal while she was constantly living in hope. And that's a really powerful point. So welcome to the show, Marilyn. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What do you mean by that? While you're constantly living in hope, you couldn't heal. I would think hope would be promising.
Hope is a very weak form. It's a very weak choice. We hope we will get well. We hope we will survive. We hope our children will not contract the same illness. As long as we have hope in our heart, we're not certain that we can live a full life, and we're certainly not living in the moment fully and allowing ourselves to just be in that place and live knowing that every single moment counts and every opportunity is simply another lesson. And while cancer was for me, of course, it took me two times to recognize it.
You're an opportunity. Expert.
What?
I said, you're an expert.
I'm an expert. Believe me, it was a shock.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, when you're in the middle of something like chemotherapy, the last thing you want to do is be in the moment. Is that? Tell me about that.
Well, the first time I had the colon cancer diagnosed, I actually chose not to do chemotherapy, because I was powerfully in the belief that alternative was the only way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when the cancer returned 3 months later, I recognized that we need more than just the alternative. And I needed in my heart to look at the chemotherapy not with the fear that I began with, because we think of chemotherapy as a poison. You know, that's what we hear. My father ultimately died of the same colon cancer, and I thought the chemotherapy just diminished him so much, and I had promised myself I would never experience it. So what I had to do was approach it holistically. I looked at the chemotherapy, and I had to thank it for all the healing it was doing, and I had to talk to my body and say, you will maintain your strength through this regimen, and you will heal as a result. So it's just how we approach it that counts.
Isn't it interesting that we attract what we resist the most?
Absolutely.
I had a similar situation during birth, is that I was resisting that C-section with all fours until it was a 10-pound baby turned sideways. There was no choice. And
right. And it is such a wonderful way to learn that there's nothing to fear.
It was, and I had about 5 minutes to embrace that C-section, which I thankfully did before I actually had it, and in the midst of all of the drugs.
I can imagine.
Which I was in resistance to as well, right?
Right.
But it's so interesting how we do that. So it is our greatest teacher. Our whatever we're creating in our life that seems at the time to be a devastating catastrophe, which you were facing with the loss of life, you turned around into seeing as your greatest teacher. You can say that now, being on the other end of it, but when you were going through this, and I have a friend who's in another very hard situation. It doesn't look pretty from this side. How do you find that strength in the middle of it?
Well, you really have to turn outside sometimes. You know, we have to be willing to ask for help and for love. And you also have to choose how you're going to have the experience. When I came home after my first and second surgeries, the phone just kept ringing, and all I kept getting, and in a very loving way, were people in my life who would be, oh, you poor thing, are you okay? And, you know, it was like I didn't want sympathy. I didn't want more of their pain added to my own. Yes, I was filled with fear, and I was filled with praying and hoping and all of these emotions. But I realized that as I was surrounded by these very well-meaning and loving people who were trying to make me feel better by telling me how badly they were feeling about my circumstance, I had to stop that. It becomes a language of pain. And I had to say, when you call me, tell me how great I'm going to do. Tell me that I'm going to be perfectly healthy. Tell me that I am making the right choices. And if you can't tell me that, don't call me. A very hard thing to say to people, and yet it started to teach me within myself that I needed to look at what I was most afraid of and embrace it. And once I was able to embrace it, I was able to let it go and move through it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were going through this particular illness, what was it that you were, you know, I tend to look at illness as a way of message that my body is telling me I need to either slow down or I need, or the lower back, I have too much responsibility, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I have interviewed a lot of authors about this, about the messages that your body is giving you and so forth. How did you not go into, and I believe that you are of the same philosophy, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you not blame yourself and go into the guilt for that and
well,
then get the lesson from it? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. I believe 100% that we are responsible for everything that happens in our lives with us. But to turn it into a guilt is not productive, because what we do with guilt is we continue to add to all of the trauma, all of the pain. I did that the first time. I know that colon cancer represents stuffing your emotions into your body to the point of severe constipation. That's how I created a colon cancer tumor.
Hmm.
You know, that was what I came away with, and I then needed to, rather than feel guilty that I did this to myself, say, okay, this is how my body is talking to me, and how do I choose to change it so it doesn't happen again? I mean, it already happened twice. So where am I taking those emotions, and what are the emotions, and why am I stuffing them? Why am I not experiencing them, expressing them, letting them go? And that's where my life started to change.
So what did you do differently?
Well, I got to tell you, the first thing that I recognized, and something that is in my book, Healing Through Love, is that we have to start to love ourselves just the way we are. We live our lives diminishing ourselves in all moments. We look in the mirror and we talk about what's wrong with our body. You know, we look for the wrinkles, we look for the gray hair, we look for everything that's wrong. And that's the beginning of the pain that starts to accumulate inside. So I needed to stop, and I needed to love myself. And every day, I needed to tell myself what was lovable about me. I have to tell you something, Lisa. I cried doing it in the beginning because I couldn't even think of anything that was lovable about me.
Yeah.
We forget how great we are.
And we
don't have too many people telling us how great we are.
And we have this wonderful American habit of complaining. About
totally.
Everything. Yeah. And it puts us in that place of hating what we do and hating ourselves and our jobs and our, you know, relationships. And there's a lot to complain about out there. But were there relationships that you had not healed when you found out about your cancer?
Yes. I am the result of a physically abusive childhood. And my mother is still alive. And I was dealing with those issues as an adult, still with a lot of pain. And then after the second bout of cancer, as loving and supportive as my husband was after 30 years of marriage, I realized we were done. There was no more joy that we were sharing. It was a companionship based on habit. And we tried to work through that. And I knew that if I did not free myself of a marriage that was okay, but not wondrous and joy-filled and loving, I was going to make myself sick again.
Mm.
So I sat down with him and I said, I think we're done. And amazingly, he absolutely agreed.
Huh?
And after 30 years, we went our separate ways.
Wow.
Very challenging. Very
challenging. You are the expert. I am going
to
keep saying
that. No, I wanted to live.
Yes.
I wanted to create a life of joy.
Good for you.
And sometimes it hurts to do that. Just like childbirth.
But what you're doing, which is a wonderful healing through, I'm sure, for you as well, is to talk about this and to say to people, hey, if you're in a dysfunctional relationship, fix it or get out. If you have unresolved emotions, fix them or move on. If you're in an uncomfortable job situation, improve it, be content with it, or move on. And these are the types of things we need to do now, people, unless we get to a situation where Marilyn got into of creating these life-threatening illnesses, and then you were I want to say fortunate, but you were educated enough and strong enough to get through it.
Well, and fortunate.
Yeah, well,
And
a lot of both. What about your spiritual beliefs? And I mean, you said that you believed in doing things alternatively, and I do believe that we will see an integrative medicine program in the near future, hopefully in our lifetimes. But what did you result to spiritually through any type of spiritual practice as you were facing cancer?
You know, I have a core belief that I am ultimately responsible for my life, and every experience I have is an experience that I call forth in order to learn. I did not turn to any church or synagogue outside of myself. I really turned inside, and I chose to empower myself. You know, trauma turns people in different directions. Many find peace in praying to God and asking for help, and that is a very viable and honorable choice. But for me, it was, you know, Marilyn, you've been here, done that. What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to make a change? And that's where I chose to turn, into myself.
Now, when you, and I love that answer, by the way, because you don't have to believe in a spiritual practice or even in God or in a religion or anything like that. Your temple, if you're healing your body, is probably the strongest belief that you can have. And in any, of course, in accordance with any other belief systems that you have before, question them and then find out your own truth. But,
right.
But what are you doing now? First of all, what did you do beforehand? Did you have a different job?
I have a background in marketing and advertising. I was writing my book as a result of this exploration, not only my own situation, but I'm also a medical intuitive, and that's where I have chosen to spend most of my time. I help people find their core issue of conflict, of trauma, of pain, and I teach them what they need to do to release it. So here I had the opportunity beyond belief to turn that upon myself and to go inside and learn how to love myself, how to release a lifetime of pain, of abuse in one form or another, and how to create my own joy. So I do that now by traveling around the country and teaching people.
In cancer centers where chemo is being distributed and administered and so forth, do they have therapists such as you or people talking to them at this level about, you know, healing emotions in their lives and being responsible for their bodies and so forth? Is that available?
It's not as available, at least not here where I am in the Denver area. I have to be thankful and grateful for my wonderful oncologist who took me on even though I did not have health insurance and, you know, allowed me to heal fully, and I am working off a payment plan that will continue forever as a result. But when I approached the center after I healed to say, let me come back and teach your current patients about responsibility, about how to let go, they were afraid. They say that most people who are undergoing even cancer or any severe illness that is so frightening and devastating, they don't want to be responsible. They don't want to hear those words. And if I cannot teach it fully and freely, I don't know that I can make an impact. So at least my experience on this end has been limited.
What about people who really don't feel that they had any major grievances or regrets in their life? I mean, one of my friends who had recently passed away, he was a practicing Buddhist. He did Tai Chi every morning. He was a healer, a wonderful mountain biker. You know, I didn't see. Of course, you know, there might have been skeletons in his closet, but I didn't see anything that he needed to take responsibility for and heal emotionally.
You know, almost everybody, excuse me, has a moment of a challenge, whether it happens when you're 3 years old or 13 years old or 30 years old. And we have a tendency to bury it. And ultimately, slowly, what it does is it creates the path of your life in a limited circle. So you create paradigms. You create a belief system based upon small moments of trauma that accumulate throughout your life. And those moments of trauma actually become how you see the world. For instance, I have a client who told me she had the most wondrous childhood and couldn't find the reason she was so limited. She's an artist and would not work on anything larger than a one-foot square space. She does stained glass work. And when I started to work with her, we discovered, and she didn't even acknowledge it until after a little while, that her father was very diminishing in his loving way. He just limited her and created limitation in her belief system. So she believed that she could only do something tiny to make it worthwhile. And once she recognized it, it didn't have to be a major trauma. Now she does huge commissioned pieces because she suddenly felt that bubble break. And the freedom just took over.
Fascinating. So in some way, there is something that needs to be healed in all of us. But I also, I don't want to suggest to people that if you haven't healed that, you know, that relationship with your parents or whatever, that you absolutely will create cancer, because there are things that we talk about every day on this show of ways to heal your life now and to
absolutely
move forward.
No, you will not create necessarily a challenging illness like that, but it will limit your experience of total joy and freedom and peace. You know, it was like I was speaking to someone yesterday and they said, I feel healthy. And I said, well, how do you know what healthy really feels like? You know, we think we're happy right now, but you let that happiness grow into another kind of joy. It's an expansion that is limitless. We have the ability to experience limitless joy, limitless freedom, limitless peace, harmony in all parts of our lives. And if you don't feel like you're experiencing that, then it just means you have something to look at. It does not mean you're going to get sick.
That's an interesting point. And I think that is a good bottom line, is that you're not going to have the full experience of life that's available to you unless you have some accountability and responsibility.
Right.
It's a very, very powerful point. Now tell me about what you're doing to raise money for people who have cancer that do not have health insurance.
Okay. We have a program called Healing Beyond Hope, and all people need to do is visit our website, healingbeyondhope.com. For every book, Healing Through Love, that is purchased off that website, we are putting aside a dollar into a fund to create enough money, and our goal is $1 million, to help defray the costs that people have who have cancer and do not have health insurance. It was my experience. It's very close to my heart. And let me tell you, when you have something like cancer going on in your body, the last thing you need are financial problems as big as what chemotherapy costs add up to be.
Right.
So we just want to help as many people as we can.
That is it's a good idea, but there's, that's a big question there. If there's state fundings that can provide for people who don't have cancer, who don't have insurance. In your experience, when you went through cancer therapies and so forth without insurance, did you notice that the therapies that were available were not available to you? That they were limited?
I have heard that from other people who have had the same situation that I had. They did not have health insurance when they were diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sent to different kinds of clinics. I made a very powerful personal choice to get the very best care that I could. I did not go through the government. And what I did was I interviewed oncologists until I found the one that I was most comfortable with. It was, in fact, somebody who, rather than say, we will heal you, said, you're healthy now because of your surgery. We will maintain and strengthen that health that you have created. It was a totally different angle.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I did not have insurance, and he said, we will work something out, but I will never turn anyone away who finds me. And I ended up with the best oncologist in the Denver area as a result. But we have a tendency when we don't have the insurance to be afraid to seek out what we call the best form of therapy. And I chose the opposite. And I want everyone to be able to seek out the best and not worry about those bills.
Wow. Now, what is the Worldwide Center?
The Worldwide Center is the teaching organization. We travel around the country, and we offer weekend workshops that enable people to make the choice to live differently. So we share very powerful tools and techniques to help people look within themselves, release their blocks, their challenges, those things created throughout a whole lifetime of loss or trauma or pain or illness, and let them go once and for all to take responsibility for their lives, to be fully empowered, and to then live a life free of all those ties that bind.
Now, can you help people through the phone if they don't have the ability to get to you or to find?
Yes. My business partner and I do one-on-one workshop techniques, and we actually do medical intuitive work and spiritual intuitive work over the telephone. We have international clients, and we do it all the time.
So it's just, you can work with people who are currently going through. So that's good to know. If people are, in a situation of, or have a friend and so forth who is facing cancer right now, and these types of approaches are not available in the hospital or in the center that they're in, there's people that you, I mean, out there like you that can call them. They can call you. What is the website that people can find you through?
Well, they can go to either healingbeyondhope.com or healingthroughlove.com, or they can reach us toll-free at 1-866-LIVE-JOY. And we will be happy to speak with them, make appointments, and start the work. You know, it is work that they have to do. Nobody heals anybody else.
Right.
We teach you how to heal.
Yourself, yes.
Absolutely.
Very, very good point. All right. And do you work with people financially who may not have the money to make this happen?
Yes. We do have scholarship programs for people, and we do have payment plans. Everyone is different, and everyone is individual.
Right.
We will never, just like my oncologist would not turn me away, we will never turn anyone away.
Very, very good. Well, thank you very much, Marilyn Innerfeld. You've been a terrific voice for people who have had this illness or know somebody who has this illness and have definitely survived. And thank you so much for sharing your insights
you,
with us.
It was a joy to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that's it for the Aware Show today. I want to thank everyone who helps with the Aware Show. Tanya Jenkins, Gina Salvetti, Deborah Peach, Toddie Blackstone, Steve Sharp, Greg Miller, Jessica Leader, and Magpie in the operating room. All right, and that's it for me. This is Lisa Garr, and while I'm committed to bringing you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your own truth. Until tomorrow, I invite you to stay aware.